Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
You know, one of Gavin Newsom's most irritating little quirks is he's constantly preening about how California is going to be the leader in this or that. And that's
we're the laboratory of democracy. Didn't you hear that last hour?
Right. That's right. We're going to be the world leader on climate change, and other states and nations will follow. And for the most part, that's not true. Most other states and nations do not follow. There is an exception, though, which we wanted to explore here. It turns out, after Newsom signed the bill in California banning gas-powered cars in 2035, people in Virginia found out that a law was passed last year that Virginia had to follow California's lead, and gas-powered cars would be banned there as well. Now, this was under a Democratic governor, and Democrats had majorities in both chambers of the legislature. Since then, there's a new Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin, and he came out the next day and said, we're going to have to roll this back. And we're going to talk now to the Attorney General, Jason Meares. He's a Republican, too. And it is, as written, going to apply to Virginia if changes aren't made. Let's get the Attorney General on. Hi, how are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Great to be with you.
Explain how the law is written that you are forced to follow California's lead.
Well, you know, we had this period of time, we had this kind of far left liberal monopoly in Virginia that took over our state government, state house, state senate, and the governor's mansion. And there is very few pieces of woke and weird legislation that they didn't push through, one of which was saying that Virginia automatically had to adopt California's admission standards. Well, as you know, these admission standards are set by an unelected board in California, which means that Virginians have absolutely zero say in what these admission standards are. And obviously, California is, I think, pretty dysfunctional state. And, you know, they said that we have to ban all non-EV cars by next decade. But people have to realize this is not about any year in the 2030s. 4 years from now, 2026, 35% of all new vehicle sales in Virginia, because they've tied to this rule, have to be EVs. Last year, that number was 2%. And I've talked to several dealers that have said the only way, the absolute only way you could get to that 35% number is if you artificially inflate the price of every non-EV car, because your average electric vehicle right now sold is about $66,000. And as they've said, what this is a tax on the poor. Your average working class Virginian or American that wanted to just buy a simple Honda Accord or an F-150, the only way they're going to be able to somehow get to that 35% number is make non-EV cars more expensive by $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. And so this is a classic case of what you have in government where people assume if I have good intentions, it'll guarantee good results. This is a tax on the poor. As one dealer told me, this is nothing more but working class Virginians subsidizing EV cars for wealthy lawyers, wealthy business owners, and wealthy doctors, because working class folks aren't coming in here trying to buy electric vehicles. And so that's what we're saying. And I got to just tell you, I was out in California this summer visiting the Reagan Ranch, and I just thought, you have to be really bad at your job, Gavin Newsom, to have a state this beautiful, to have a net plus 200,000 people a year leaving a state that has so much natural beauty. It's just, it shows you just how dysfunction this far left liberal monopoly is in California. We got a taste of it in Virginia, and we rejected it this past November. But that's what you're seeing right now in California is we actually have signs that are popping up in Virginia that says, "Don't California, my Virginia." And it's just really caused a lot of outrage out here on the East Coast.
Did the public know the implications of this when the Virginia law was passed last year?
No. I mean, the media covered it some, and we warned them. We told them you are tying ourselves to the most far left government and regulatory state in the country, and Virginians lose their voice, Virginians lose their say, but they didn't care. It really was this sense of we know what's best. There was a sense of arrogance. I mean, you saw this in almost every area from tax and regulatory to just this criminal first, victim last mindset of bills they passed. Quoted the name of social justice, but social justice without criminal justice doesn't reform anything. It's a criminal first, victim last mindset that's hurting Virginians. So we've gotten a little taste of it for 2 years in Virginia of what this far left progressive agenda looks like. And like I said, we rejected it, but that's kind of where we are. So I do find it a little bit laughable that Gavin Newsom is going around trying to tout how great California is. California has some of the worst income inequality in the country, some of the worst homeless rates in the country, some of the worst rates of drug addiction in the country, some of the most violent crime rates in the country. And somehow he thinks that's a platform to go around the country and say, look at California. If California is so great, why are you having so many people leave and move to other states that have some common sense policies on taxes, regulation, and criminal justice? And so that's what you're saying. And but yeah, that's what we're dealing with in California. It got very little media coverage at the time.
And so it's legal to force people to abide by a law that was passed by an unelected body in California. That just strikes me as should be constitutionally wrong in some way.
Well, the problem is you do have these kind of administrative multi-state compacts that have been in existence that have the courts have ruled are constitutional. But that goes to a bigger point, which if you think most of the problems people have with what Joe Biden is doing are not bills. They're actually executive orders and regulations being pushed out by the administrative state. And if you want to know part of the reason why Washington and a lot of state governments get dysfunctional is they basically stop legislating. They start allowing unelected legislative bodies to pass laws. And that's what I'd like to point out. You have these rules and regulation promulgated by these regulatory bodies in Washington or Sacramento that they are never voted on by your elected representatives. Your senator, your congressman, they can comment and say they dislike it, but they never actually vote on it. But they have the same full force and effect of a law. In fact, your governor can complain about it. That's all they could do. The only people that could challenge them are your state attorneys general that could take them to court. And so people ask me, what surprised me about my job? What has surprised me just how much federal overreach there's been, federal regulations that have been promulgated that can impact every aspect of an American's lives, but it's never voted on. There's never any hearings, there's never any comment period by the general public to be able to testify. And so that's part of our job is what we push back on this federal regulations. And so, yes, unfortunately, that's what's happened at the federal level. It was this kind of a somewhat obscured case, unless you're a lawyer, Chevron deference. The Supreme Court may reference it. But, yeah, you have a big, big problem with an administrative state that passes law after law, and it's never a bill. And it's really, I think, one of the things that it's going to be a huge issue as you move forward, asking just how much responsibility and how much do we want to give to these unelected bodies that never have to answer to the voters on any issue.
We've given a lot of power. The public, I don't think, is aware of all the power the California Air Research Board has in this state. Now, in your state, in Virginia, you can repeal this through the legislature. The Republicans have one chamber. Right. The Democrats have the other. So I guess until you get Republicans controlling both chambers, you're not able to repeal this?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, as I tell people, my job is I call balls and strikes. I enforce the law, even if the law is something I disagreed with. I was in the General Assembly when this bill came up. I voted against it. But it is the law right now. And so what I have tried to say is, this is why elections matter. We have a new set of elections in 2023, both for the state Senate and the state House. And so you're exactly right. That's the way we're going to have to repeal it, is we're going to have to get control of the General Assembly and get some sanity on this. Because right now, and this is the one thing I've realized, is the environmental left has such a grip on the Democratic Party. They have such a large financial grip on the Democratic Party that even people that I know are pretty reasonable Democrats, I have great relationships with several Democratic members, they've basically been said, listen, if I vote to repeal this, I do think this is pretty insane. I'll be primaried and probably lose my seat in the Democratic primary because that's just the way it is.
Are they not afraid of the public turning on them over something stupid like this?
I can't speak to that. I think they're more worried about their nomination, and but that's the reality. I do think there's a lot of anger. I think if you don't think people are upset now, wait till they suddenly see the sticker prices on their non-EV cars. They come in, they get artificially inflated. There's no way you can get to that 35% number. I mean, you can't go from 2% to 35%. And listen, I talked to an energy expert, and I said, listen, if we suddenly went to just 10%, if overnight nationally went to 10% of all vehicles on the road were EVs, what would that do to our electric grid? And the word he used to describe it was catastrophic. He said that we cannot handle that. And so on one hand, they've made it impossible to add capacity to our electric grid. On the flip side, they've made these demands that we have, you know, within 4 years, a third of all cars sold the EVs. And so our electric grid can't handle it. They have literally set up a regime that's doomed to fail. California cannot meet the energy demands on the grid that their push for EVs is going to happen. And so it'll probably reach ahead once Gavin Newsom has left, because like I said, he lives in a world where he thinks if he has good intentions, it will guarantee good results. Nobody in the real world operates that way. Nobody in the private sector operates that way. Nobody on a sports team operates that way. Nobody in the military operates that way. It's only politicians in very liberal enclave that can get away with having this idea that just because I mean well, I'm going to have good results. I think it's part of the reason why government is so dysfunctional right now. And listen, that's one thing I appreciate about Governor Youngkin. He has this mindset of bringing kind of a business solution-oriented mindset to government. He doesn't get away with the idea that just because I meant well, I don't have to follow up and measure success. He measures success in everything he does. And that's part of the reason why I want to repeal this.
Well, thank you for coming on with it. Jason Meares, the Attorney General of Virginia. Virginia is bound by California's electric vehicle mandate. And it's going to kick in by 2026 in Virginia, as well as here in California. 35% of cars will have to be electric. And it's just impossible for all the reasons that Jason laid out here. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you.
All right, more coming up in the John and Kent Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. My eyes almost popped out of my head last night because, you know, if you watch any local TV, it's all about these two propositions, 26 and 27, which is online gambling.
Mm-hmm.
One popped up that was about a bill in Sacramento. We'll tell you what that bill is, because in this age of inflation, this could drive up your cost of your hamburger, John Cobalt. We'll get into that after.
I don't need that. By the way, I just saw an online ad for Prop 27, which is for legalizing online gambling.
That's the one for online gambling.
Okay.
Right.
The entire commercial was about vote for this proposition because this is going to fund homeless programs for families and children.
That's what they're doing. Actually, I saw one on TV last night. They actually brought out people from nonprofits to say they can't wait for this to pass. They're going to get more money, and they're excited.
You cannot tell at all that it's about online gambling, because what they want to do is use some of the proceeds.
I see.
they want to use some of the proceeds, I guess, for a homeless program.
Yeah, you're right. Generally, the Prop 27 ads that are in favor of it have just been about how much it's going to help with the homeless problem. And
yeah, I mean, it's so preposterous. They run these focus groups, and they find out that if you say, oh, we'll spend money on homeless. Oh, yes, I'll vote for that. But if you say you want to legalize online gambling, well, I don't know about that.
It's a good one because there's no taxes involved, right? They're saying we're going to get money for the homeless, but we're not going to raise taxes
I can't stand with deceptive things that work on ignorant people, because that's most of the bad laws in this state.
All right, the New York Times had a science story that jumped out at me, and a story on the John and Ken show also hit me at the same time. I remember, this is really a long time ago, but you were talking about how you once ran into somebody you thought was your twin.
Yes.
Somebody that was not related to you. The word, of course, the German doppelganger. I always like the word doppelganger. I use that too when I'm in public and I see somebody that looks like somebody I know. I go, there's your doppelganger.
Yeah.
What's amazing about this story, and apparently some guy has taken photos and there have been studies done of people that were not related but somehow found each other, and it's incredible how much they do look alike. Did you look at the photos, John?
I did. I read that whole story this morning, yeah.
How could you not believe these people weren't related when you look at the photos of them, especially the two shirtless fat guys with tattoos?
They even have the same belly. Yeah, we didn't need that.
Pedro Lopez. Soto and Alfred Puello Catico. The picture was taken in Barcelona in 2015, and they look almost identical.
Oh my God. They got, I mean, these two guys are slobs. Huge bellies, big sagging breasts.
They got the same beard, same balding head, the same expression. Everything is like almost identical. And then did you see the pair of guys that leads off the article? You would think they were a gay couple, but they're not. They actually met through a band. And they attended each other's wedding, but they're kind of posing.
Yeah, I know.
They really look. They got that little bearded look.
Yes, carefully coiffed beards.
Carefully coiffed beard. And so the story goes on to say that a study was done on some of these lookalikes, and they found out that they actually do share DNA. How about that?
That makes sense.
That makes sense. And now here comes the part where I felt vindicated, because I don't know why I came up with this, but I said, you know, eventually you're going to have to find people that look like you, because we're really going to run out of faces. And sure enough, it's in the story that there's so many billions of people on the planet, there's only so many faces that are going to form. So there's a really good chance that somewhere in the world there is somebody that looks a hell of a lot like you. And it's part of DNA, and it's part of other factors, environmental and so forth. But It was really stunning to me to see that, because I said, yeah, that does make common sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, 8 billion people? Of course, a lot of people are going to look alike. Now, I saw your doppelganger in Germany, coincidentally.
I think you did tell me this story once, too. Right?
We were changing planes in Munich on the way to Israel, and there was a guy in the airport. And I stopped.
It does cause you to stop and stare.
Oh my God, that's Ken.
You should have gotten his name. I could have, you know, compared genetics with them.
It frightened me. I thought it was some kind of ghost.
Right.
And then
doppelgangers' genomes are similar, but something called epigenomes and microbiomes are a little different. This is all inside genetic stuff, but that's what they found out in this study when they took a look at these twins and discovered that they actually did share some DNA. Absolutely remarkable, and a good scientific explanation for it. They described them as facial algorithms. And they did this study, and this photographer took these pictures. But and I'm just trying to find the quote from the guy that really excited me today when he basically said that, Dr. Esteller said, now there are so many people in the world that the system is repeating itself. It's not unreasonable to assume that you too might have a lookalike out there. There are only so many ways to build a face. Now, the chances of you finding that person somewhere on this earth are probably, actually, it's probably several people that look a lot like
you. And some of those faces are badly constructed.
I forget where you said you ran into the guy that looked like your doppelganger.
New York City. I was going to a comedy club with my friends, and we were standing just outside the club. Maybe we were in line. And I looked across the street, and there was me across the street. And he had even had my hair, my glasses.
Glasses,
he had the same kind of blue blazer that I used to wear then.
Oh, that is weird.
It was like looking in a mirror.
When it crosses over into clothing, it gets
weird. No, because I think I had it on, too, because we're going in the club, and I think I remember I was a little dressed up. And so I looked across the street as if it was a mirror, and I think he was in front of a restaurant.
He didn't notice you, though.
I don't think so, or maybe he ran. No, that scared me, too. It's like, oh, hey, that's my face. What are you doing? Come back here.
All right, we got more coming.
Do you remember when we found Ray's doppelgangers?
We have found several of
them.
Two. Years.
One was a guy a few years ago. He'd gotten arrested.
Oh,
I remember.
Yes.
He was shirtless.
I remember
the shirtless guy who got arrested?
Yeah.
And then there was one, he actually was the leader of a mariachi band, and he was photographed.
Ray has kind of a generic sort of face.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of Ray Lopez's out there.
All right, we got more coming up. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at this list of banned words.
Yeah, I read this morning that it had to be snuck out of them, that people were aware of this for a while, but never had the full list. What this is... It's from Stanford University. It's an initiative called the Elimination of Harmful Language. It was first revealed in May. It was a multi-phase, multi-year project to address harmful language.
Multi-year.
At Stanford, yes. They want to eliminate... Now, this is about the school's websites and computer codes. It's, I guess... People could take it as a guide to everyday living, but
Stanford
this was kind of an internal document.
This used to be an elite university.
Used to be.
Yeah, now this is like something out of some kind of comic book here.
Here's what they wrote. The guide says the goal is to eliminate many forms of harmful language, including racist, violent, and biased language. Bias included disability bias, ethnic bias, ethnic slurs, gender bias, implicit bias, and sexual bias.
Wow. My head's spinning. That's a lot of bias.
We strive to educate people on the impact of words. There are 10 sections. Ableist, ageism, colonialism, culturally appropriative, gender-based, imprecise language, institutionalized racism, person first, violent, and then finally additional considerations.
Mm.
Yeah. The one that's got people talking is that the university urges you to avoid using the term American. That person is a U.S. citizen.
Do they give lobotomies to people who go to graduate school at Stanford? Like, do they do the old ice pick over the eyeball like you see in the old movies?
The Americas comprise 42 countries. Wow. I guess that's Central America, North America,
but none of
South America.
None of them have the word America in their name.
Not that I know of, no.
I can't think of any.
Right. You call somebody a Peruvian,
sure.
Right, a Venezuelan.
Yeah.
So there's an American, because that's the last word of our name, the United States of America.
America, and you're an American.
Explain this. I know.
But hey, you're not a Harvard, you're not a Stanford graduate. With an advanced degree, are you? These people are smarter than we are. They're more educated.
What we were talking about yesterday with Mark Krikorian from the Center for Immigration Studies, at first when I saw this, I thought, well, you know, that's the idea that there really is no America or Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We are all world citizens now. Yep. That's why there should be no borders.
That's right. So they're going to wipe out our national identity. The word is now off limits. I'm sure within these circles, if you use the word, people will look at you like you just dropped an F-bomb. In fact, an F-bomb is probably more acceptable now than to describe yourself as an American.
Maybe 20 years from now, that's the way it is. This Stanford could be ahead. They're enlightened. You, sir, are darkened.
No, you can't use the word darkened.
That came up a lot, too. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of words here that involve, a lot of phrases that involve the word black. And
some of them are obsolete that people don't use much anyway. But, there's probably people that say handicap parking, but there aren't that many people that say that anymore. but they are urging you to use accessible parking.
Well, does it matter how many people say it or don't say it? If it describes accurately what's going on?
Yeah, because they think it's insensitive.
Says who? I mean, what gives them the right to decide this?
The people
this?
That put together this list.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They spent many months on this.
But nobody put these people in charge. They've just announced what's insensitive and what's not insensitive. It's like, well, how do you know? What do you know?
Well, they're right about this one. Karen replaced with demanding or entitled white woman. I don't think it's fair to people named Karen with that one.
No.
But, you know, I think the woke people came up with Karen, didn't they?
Well, yeah, because they do it too.
Well, all those stupid videos.
They have their own set.
Do not say child prostitute. Instead, it's a child who has been trafficked.
A child who's been trafficked. There's a lot of taking one word descriptions and placing it with a three or four word phrase.
They believe that is more specific then.
You can't call somebody crazy. Crazy is ableist language that trivializes the experience of people living with mental health conditions. Instead, say that they're surprising or wild.
Yeah, that one was weird. I don't think surprising captures what the essence of crazy is in most people's minds, right?
Here's one. You can't call somebody a basket case. Just consider using nervous, because it originally referred to one who lost all four limbs and therefore needed to be carried around in a basket.
Oh, look at that. See, you learn something from these old cliched expressions.
Except basket case is usually used as somebody who's crazy.
It is, yes. Somebody who's a little bit unhinged.
I never heard of the one without limbs.
The index does not offer an alternative for brave under the culturally appropriate category. Just cautions against using the word at all. I guess we're back to the Native American thing. Like the Atlanta Braves, you know what I'm saying? I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, I saw polls where 90% of American Indians didn't care about mascots and team nicknames. They just didn't care. Same way.
Yeah, but the use of that is Native American because the Brave logo. But to say that someone's brave is just means that somebody is, strong and they stand up.
It's complimentary. It's silly. This is all this arbitrary nonsense. It's like they still are trying to recommend Latinx, and I've seen surveys on that. 97% of Hispanic people reject Latinx.
Wow.
They don't know, because a lot of this is about dealing with alternative genders and alternative sexual situations.
Yes.
And that just doesn't apply to, the vast, vast majority of people. So everybody looks like, well, why? Why can't you use, a he if you're talking to a guy? You're supposed to ask somebody their pronoun first before you address
you
them.
You figured that was coming, right?
It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I don't want to be asked either.
You don't want to be asked your preferred pronouns?
No, I don't have preferred pronouns. I have obvious ones. It's not preferred. It's what is. There isn't a preferred implies that there's a choice and there might be a second or third possibility. It's like, no, it's not a preference. It's mandatory.
Predictably, you're not supposed to say immigrant. It's a person who has immigrated. A prisoner, nope. It's a person who was or is incarcerated. And a homeless person is a person without housing.
Here's a good one. Seminal.
Seminal?
Like, groundbreaking or leading the seminal event, right?
Why is that offensive?
Think.
I don't know.
Why would Seminole be offensive?
Native Americans.
No, it's dirty.
Not Seminole.
Oh.
Seminole.
As in semen?
Exactly. Oh. This term reinforces male-dominated language. Oh. And men produce semen. Right? People come out of semen. So the Seminole event is the first... It's the first moment
of
humanity.
A lot of that in here. They don't want you to say balls to the wall because, again, personality traits are attributed to anatomy.
Right. Or being ballsy.
Or have the balls too. Right. They're all on the no list. And even guys is no good anymore. Say folks or people or everyone. Newsom always says folks.
Yeah,
when he tried to refer to gang members.
I mean folks.
Thug is no good. No good. Don't say thug.
you can't use the term black mark.
Yeah, most of the terms with the word black in it are out.
Black sheep, black bald, black box, black list. You can't use brown bag because it's associated with the brown paper bag test that certain black sororities and fraternities use to judge skin color. Yeah. If your skin color is darker than the brown bag, you are not allowed to join. No, no, brown bag is what you take lunch in. What are they talking about? What? I would say they're insane, except that's on the banned list, too.
Can't say victim. Should be person who has experienced or person who's been impacted by. Using person-first language helps to not define people by just one of their experiences. But if the person identifies with the term, then you can use it. Wow.
You have to ask them in advance.
Yeah, like someone who got mugged. Do you mind being called a victim?
Watch. All the stupid people in all these news departments are going to pick up on all this, and their stories are going to become incomprehensible.
I have something to contribute. This is Mark in the news booth. I had an editor once tell me I was forbidden to use the word citizens in a story, like in the old Adam West attention citizens Batman type of sense.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it would offend readers who might not be American citizens.
That's right. They would feel excluded.
I think that what you're describing here is not a new thing, but it's every bit as egregious as it's always been.
It's just multiplied a thousandfold here. We've got endless pages of these words, and they spent years putting this together.
You can't even say hooray.
You can't say hooray?
No, this term was used by German citizens during the Holocaust as a rallying cry when they would hunt down Jewish citizens. Look at that. I didn't know that.
Eric, you ever hear that?
I've never heard that before.
So if you hear hooray, you have to be offended.
That's the preferred term. I had it backwards. You can't say hip hip hooray.
You could just say hooray.
That's correct. Hooray instead of hip hip hooray. Yeah. All right, more coming up. Johnny Kent, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Well, you knew this had to happen eventually. Apple is being sued by two women who were victims of AirTag stalking, including one whose ex-boyfriend hid the device in the wheel of her car, and another whose estranged husband tracked her by placing it in her child's backpack. Well, that's pretty creepy. Lauren Hughes from Texas is one woman. The other woman only identifies herself as Jane Doe. Lauren Hughes did file a class action suit against Apple, alleging it was negligent in its creation and marketing of the inexpensive tracking devices.
Do you think the Apple executives, even for 5 minutes, had a meeting that said, do you think creepers and stalkers would use this to track their ex-wives and girlfriends?
Well, they said that they're stalker-proof because they include chime notifications to inform Apple device users whether or not there's an AirTag within 30 feet of them for an extended period of time. But the one problem with that immediately is what if you have an Android phone
and that's
you don't have an Apple device?
That's half the nation.
Then apparently you have to use the app, and then you have to scan constantly because you're not going to get a notification, but you can still figure out there's an AirTag near you.
Well, that's right. So I go back to my first question. They know that Android has half the market share and that it's cumbersome for an Android user to learn that there's a tracking device on them.
Yes.
So, I mean, these Apple geeks have no conscience.
They also claim that the alert to Apple users are inadequate because they would not be released for a full 72 hours after an AirTag was in range. One of the lawyers said, put another way, a victim could have been stalked for 3 days before Apple alerted them of the potential danger.
Right, and killed and the body dumped in the forest.
So you have to have an iPhone, an iPad, or an iPad Touch that runs the iOS version 14.5 or later. In order to have this chime work and the system
sure.
work.
And the thing is, it forces you to keep track of something that you don't have. This is my objection here, is that somebody else gets an AirTag and then drops it in your purse or attaches it to your car, and you're supposed to go out of the way to make sure that you are connected to the system properly. And then how nuts is that?
I guess the response would be 90% of the time it works to help people find missing items. All right, so a few men
so a few
abuse
men.
It by tracking women, but
Oh no, it pays. It definitely makes huge profits, and they figure every once in a while. I'm sure they thought this through, that every once in a while, hey, somebody might get raped and murdered. There'll be a lawsuit, and that's the cost of doing business.
We'll just settle it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like when.
Do you know how much they go for these air tags? I don't know. I've never bought one, but
you know, you want something? I bought, I think, 4 of them. And then they're lost in the house, and I can't find them. I need a set of air tags.
Oh, you need an air tag to find the air tags.
Yeah, yeah. They fell into a black hole. But no, our kitchen table is where my wife does all the house business, right? And then there's a bench near her seat, and it's got stacks and stacks and stacks of books and paperwork, just all kinds of things, right? It's become a storage corner. Somewhere, maybe there, maybe somewhere else, are the air tags. But I can't find them. And I don't know how I can find them.
Well, here's the creepy story from the Texas woman, Hughes. She had recently ended a 3-month-long relationship in August of 2021 when her ex-boyfriend began making abusive posts on social media accounts and using fake accounts to try to follow her private accounts. He soon started calling her from blocked numbers and leaving threatening voicemails, according to the lawsuit, ultimately leaving objects at her home. Well, fearing her safety, she decided to move in October of that year. But when she returned to her hotel, she got a notification on her iPhone that an unknown AirTag was nearby. She attempted to engage the feature, causing the AirTag to beep, but could only get it to work one time. She ultimately found the AirTag in the wheel well of the rear passenger tire of her car.
How about that?
It was colored with Sharpie marker and tied up in a plastic baggie.
Yeah. And she's got to go through all that work to find this little spy tag left behind her crazy boyfriend. Yes. She's got to do all the work. That's ridiculous. It's an unwanted outside product, which has now become a danger to her.
She said all they could do was give a cease and desist order to her stalker when she went to police. Fast forward to March. The stalker posted a picture on social media showing a taco truck in her new neighborhood with hashtags referencing her new location and included a winking emoji. Wow, yeah. With a separate hashtag Air 2.0. Would that be an updated Air tag?
There's nothing worse than a stalker because that is such a bizarre mental illness. And
there's no stopping them.
Yeah, and there aren't effective laws against them either. And it never goes away, or it's very... It takes a long, long time for it to go away.
The Jane Doe woman, meanwhile, first found an AirTag in her child's backpack in the summer this year following a contentious divorce in which her estranged husband harassed her and challenged her about her whereabouts. She tried to disable or otherwise render it ineffective, but soon another one showed up in its place. She then got a friend to download the Android app to find the trackers, but it could not confirm or deny whether a specific AirTag was being placed in her child's effects by her estranged husband. Both women continue to fear for their safety as the stalkers have evidenced a commitment to continuing use the AirTags to track them.
Apple is not your friend. Apple made a product that makes it easier for stalkers to track their prey. It makes it difficult for the prey to detect that they're being stalked. Like that is a great American corporation, isn't it?
They also claim in the lawsuit that the little chime it sends out is very low-toned and could be easily confused with something else your phone is doing, so you may not be aware right away that it's telling me there's an AirTag in the area that might be tracking.
Yes, that's right, that your ex-boyfriend is chasing you.
The world is really nutty. All right, John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.